Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: The king said, Bhattacharya, you are the most learned and experienced person I know. Therefore, when you address Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Lord Krishna, I accept this as truth. Purport: This is the way to advance in spiritual science. One must accept the words of an acharya, a bona fide spiritual master, to clear the path for spiritual advancement. This is the secret of success. However, one's guide must be a spiritual master who is actually an unalloyed devotee, strictly following the instructions of the previous acharya without deviation. Whatever the spiritual master says must be accepted by the disciple. Only then there is success certain. This is the Vedic system. Sarvam Bhattacharya was a Brahmana and a realized soul, whereas Prataprudra was a Kshatriya. Kshatriya kings used to obey very faithfully. Jaya Shri Radha Gokulanand ki jaya. Kshatriya kings used to obey very faithfully the orders of learned Brahmanas and saintly persons, and in this way they would rule their country. Similarly, Vaishyas used to follow the king's orders, and Shudras used to serve the three higher castes. In this way, the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras used to live cooperatively, performing their respective duties. Consequently, society was peaceful and people were happy to discharge the duties of Krishna consciousness. Thus, they were happy in life and able to return home back to Godhead. Om Ajnanti Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yatkripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarnam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram Paramananda Madhavam Namaom Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyayvacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. First of all, I would like to seek the blessings of all the senior Prabhupada disciples present here and all the other senior Vaishnavas and devotees before I can share a few thoughts on the subject matter. Yesterday in the morning we began this lecture series which is entitled The Path of Grace, and in our talk last morning we were discussing how bhakti is the path of grace, whereas in many other yoga systems we rely on our own abilities to achieve perfection or siddhi. In bhakti, on the path of bhakti, we rely on the grace of the Lord to achieve perfection. The philosophy of Bhagavad Dharma, and in particular Gaudiya Vaishnavism, is a philosophy that strikes a very wonderful balance. Extremism can be the nature of the conditioned soul, and extremism can also be the nature of practitioners of religion and spirituality. Where one can go to an extreme end of relying on one's own ability and effort to achieve perfection, or go to the other extreme of relying only on the Lord's grace to achieve perfection. The philosophy of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in particular given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, teaches us to find the golden mean, teaches us to find the balance between effort and grace. Yesterday we were talking about this, about the two fingers that were required to tie Lord Krishna. One is the effort and second is the grace of the Lord. We were making a comparison yesterday of how if one wants to go to a country, an Indian person wants to go to the United States of America, he needs a visa. And so also if one wants to go back to the spiritual world, one needs a visa. And just as if one wants to apply for an American visa, one goes to the American consulate, all the documents that are in place by the candidate who is applying for the visa is his effort. And then the visa officer actually deciding to give that visa is grace. It's not that one just because the documents are in place, the visa is granted. Yesterday we were talking about a story of how a gentleman had all the documents in place and was rejected for the visa. And a particular lady was messed up in her documents, but because of a certain thing, her daughter was crying and the visa officer felt compassionate and granted the visa, although the documents were not in place. And therefore, to think that one's effort can get one grace is not right. Effort is simply an expression of one's sincerity that I want a visa. And therefore, we were discussing yesterday, on the practice of sadhana bhakti, on the path of sadhana bhakti, all the things we do is collecting the documents. And in the ultimate end, the visa officer, Krishna, and his ambassador in this world, Srila Prabhupada, has to finally sanction and stamp our passport from the Republic of Golok Vrindavan. Right? And that is only when we can truly transport ourselves to the spiritual world. And Krishna is a little hard person to deal with because he is the father. Krishna is a little hard person to deal with. He goes by the rule of Ye yatha mam prapadyante. If you surrender, I'll get back. If you don't, hang on. You know. But Krishna's Ladini Shakti, Srimati Radharani, and her counterparts and expansions, Srimati Lakshmi Devi and Srimati Sita Devi, the motherly aspect makes Krishna's heart soft. The father can be strict, but the mother is extremely merciful. Srila Prabhupada therefore said that Srimati Radharani is the feminine, tender, feminine counterpart of God. He said Srimati Radharani is the tender, feminine counterpart of God. Extremely merciful. Your documents are in place, one missing, no problem. I'm there. You know. You tried getting all in place and you tried to follow what the Guru said and a little bit here and there, don't worry. I am there. Man was telling his wife, did you see our next door neighbor's daughter? She got 99/100 in her test in the school. So the lady asked the husband, what about our son? The husband replied, he got the one which he couldn't get. You know, she got the 99 and he got the one. But we've often seen when the child comes with a report card, marks, and there's not too many good grades there, the child goes to the mother. Mama, I'm messed up. You please see if you can sort out the mess with the Lord, our Father. And therefore, if you go to India, to the Sri Vaishnava temples, the Lord is standing in the middle of two ladies, two mothers. One side, Sri Devi. The other side, Bhudevi. Both expansions of the Ladini Shakti, Srimati Radharani. And a devotee goes to take shelter of the Lord. And the Lord says, this man, every time he comes and says, I'll improve, he goes back to square one. And only in the temple he is reminded that I have to improve. It's too hypocritical. Too sinful. He's not taken full shelter. I don't want to give him shelter. So he turns around to Sri Devi. What is your idea? Should I give him shelter? Sri Devi says, my dear Lord, why are you asking me this question? The Lord says, he's sinful, hypocritical. How can I give him shelter? Sri Devi says, my dear Lord, everyone in this age is hypocritical, sinful. What to do? Give him shelter. And the Lord was thinking, probably she'll rescue me from this. So he says, gone. You're not of any use. So he turns to the other side, to Bhudevi. He says, what is your opinion? Should I give him shelter? And Bhudevi says, what is your opinion on what Sri Devi is saying? Bhudevi says, I'm absolutely against her opinion. She's wrong. She's wrong. She's saying everyone is sinful and hypocritical. My dear Lord, anyone comes and takes shelter of you automatically becomes pious and sincere. And one must give shelter to pious and sincere. Therefore, please give him shelter. And then the Lord was thinking, I thought she will rescue me. And is caught between the two. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, Srimati Radharani is the tender, feminine counterpart of God, who will melt God's heart and say, Krishna, he filed all the documents. One document is improper. Please, please grant him the visa, you know. And therefore, if you see many times in the temples, you find even Ram having Abhaya Mudra. His hand is like this, Abhaya Mudra, giving blessing. If you go to Kanchipuram, there is a beautiful deity of Lord Varadaraj. And on his hand, you always find a beautiful diamond engraving in Tamil. In Tamil, it is written, Ma Shuchaha, do not fear. Just seeing that darshan is great hope. But when you realize the Lord goes by Athamam Prapadyante, then we feel hopeless. So the Lord is saying, do not worry, I'll protect you from sin. And then Lakshmi is standing close by and saying, don't worry, I'll protect you from him. You know? The Lord is saying, I'll protect you from sin. And Lakshmi is saying, I'll protect you from him because he's too strict. He goes by Yathamam Prapadyante. Don't worry. I am here. You know? And therefore, Srimati Radharani, Lakshmi Devi, Sita Devi, melt the Lord's heart so that that grace flows and we can move on successfully on the path of grace. In fact, there is a collaboration. There is a collaboration between the Ladini Shakti and the Acharya who represents the Ladini Shakti. They are working in tandem with each other. Perfect collaboration. You know, Srila Prabhupada was working in perfect collaboration with the Ladini Shakti, inspired by her grace. He was so graceful. Oh, he was so graceful and so kind and so merciful. In spite of knowing that whenever people would come to him, not everyone was fully qualified, Prabhupada created that qualification through his grace in collaboration with the Ladini Shakti, the feminine counterpart of the Supreme Lord. One time on a disappearance day of his divine grace, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada was giving a talk. He had tears in his eyes, choked up. And at that point of time, after the talk, Srila Prabhupada told all the devotees, you know what? I have nothing to offer to my Guru Maharaj. I have only one thing to offer to my Guru Maharaj. All of you. And therefore, today on the disappearance day of my Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, I am offering all of you to my Guru Maharaj. So he can offer all of you in the parampara to the Divine Mother. And then the visa gets stamped. Thanks to Srila Prabhupada, the ambassador of Golok Vrindavan, who has come here, and the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is the Consulate General of Golok Vrindavan, issuing visas to go back to the spiritual world. Once Srila Prabhupada was on a train, and a devotee, he was cut some samosa, some lady devotee, and she was sitting with Prabhupada's picture and the parampara picture and offering the samosa. So Prabhupada looked at her and said, what are you doing? She said, Prabhupada, I'm offering the samosa. He said, you're offering to the picture. I'm sitting here. The parampara begins with me. The parampara begins with me, he said. You can make an offering like this, you know. And therefore, this fantastic collaboration between the Acharya and the Ladini Shakti is a ray of hope for every conditioned soul. Is a ray of hope for every practitioner of devotional service. And can we imagine Lord Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is a combination of Krishna and Radharani. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. And here we are dealing with Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime in the Chaitanya Charitamrit, where the feminine counterpart and the masculine Lord both together dealing with a devotee called Maharaj Pratap Rudra. And we are going to discuss how Maharaj Pratap Rudra is now going to collect the visa documents. One by one, beginning today, we shall discuss how he files his papers for the visa, how he collects all the different qualities in terms of these documents to be able to please the Lord, the Guru, Srimati Radharani, and finally get the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kaviraj Goswami explains that in the month of Magh, which is January, February, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. In the month of Falgun, which is February, March, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived in Jagannath Puri, witnessed the Dola Yatra festival. In the month of Chaitra, which is March, April, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered the impersonalist Sarvam Bhattacharya. And in the month of Vaishak, which is the month of April, May, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to go to South India. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to go to South India, he didn't just go on a vacation. You know, the other day I was saying that one lady came to her husband and said, the doctor has told me that in order to gain my health back, I must go for a vacation. So she said, the doctor has said this. Which country should we go? Should we go to Zurich, Switzerland? Should we go to New Zealand? Should we go to Los Angeles, West Coast America? Where should we go? The husband was silent. Said, please, where should we go? The husband said, we should go to another doctor. For a second opinion, you know, that you think that you need a vacation just to recuperate in your health. Vacations, oh, people can go on vacations. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled to South India not on a vacation from Jagannath Puri. Srila Prabhupada was traveling to the Western world and an Indian devotee came and said, Prabhupada, this is the mango season and you love mangoes so much. You'll be missing the mangoes here, Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, I'm going on a preaching tour and preaching is sweeter than the sweetest mango. And therefore Prabhupada, as he was traveling all over the world, missing his Indian Alfonso mangoes from Ratnagiri, Maharashtra, they are the best. Missing the Indian Alfonso mangoes from Ratnagiri, Maharashtra, Prabhupada was tasting the sweetness of the sweetest mango, preaching Krishna consciousness. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left Jagannath Puri to go to South India on a preaching tour. And as he went on this preaching tour, in Jagannath Puri, an episode started unfolding. The king of Jagannath Puri, Maharaj Pratap Rudra, called for his guru, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. When Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya arrived in his palace and took his seat, Maharaj Pratap Rudra offered respects and very submissively spoke. Shunilunto mara ghare, ekko mahashay, gauda haite ailate ho, maha kripamay. Shunilun, I've heard from people in Jagannath Puri, Shunilun, tomara ghare, in your house, ekko mahashay, a great personality has arrived. I just heard there is news, rumors all around Jagannath Puri. You know how news spreads fast. News spreads really fast. You know, and when news spreads, if you tell someone, please don't tell the other person, it spreads faster. You know. News can spread fast, but you tell another person, I'll tell you a secret, please don't tell another guy, it will spread faster. All over Jagannath Puri there was news. There is a sannyasi. Sannyasi who has come to the house of this gentleman called Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya and is living there. Shunilun. The king told his guru Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, Shunilun, I have heard, suna hai. Shunilun, tomara ghare, in your ghar, in your house, Ekko Mahashay, a great personality is residing, a sannyasi. Gauda Haite Aila, and he's come from Gauda Desh, West Bengal. Mahakripamay, I've heard, is extremely merciful. I've come here to confirm whether this is true. Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, you please tell me. Is this true? That a great person is living in your house? You please tell me who this person is. I want to know. Once, Akbar, the Badshah, the emperor, the Mughal emperor, asked Birbal, his vice minister, how much is the distance between a truth and a lie? What is the distance between a truth, reality, and a lie, falsity? Everyone in the palace was trying to answer. How do you measure distance between truth and lie and physically give the distance? I want the physical distance, he said. I want the physical distance between truth and lie. Everyone failed. He turned to Birbal. So what's your opinion, Birbal? Birbal said, the distance between truth and lie is 4 fingers, my dear king. Very confidently he said it. I said, really? How can you say the distance between truth and lie is 4 fingers? He said, because the distance between the ears and the eyes is 4 fingers. Put 4 fingers between your ears and your eyes. You see, the distance between a truth and a lie. He said, people will see. Some people think if we see, that is truth. Some people think if we hear, that is truth. For those who think hearing is truth and seeing is lie, the distance is still 4 fingers. And for those who think seeing is truth and hearing is a lie, the distance is still 4 fingers. What's interesting is, knowledge cannot be got by seeing, nor can it be got by hearing. Truth cannot be understood by seeing, and truth cannot be understood by hearing. Some people think if I see, I know the truth. I saw that man was doing something. I saw that guy did it. It is a lie, or it is a truth. I saw him, I caught him red-handed. And one can be very judgmental simply by seeing and think this is the truth. Someone told me a nice story recently on judgmentalism, simply based on seeing. A man came to a hospital. His son was going through a massive crisis of health. He was lying on the operation, in the operation theater, on the operation table. And this man told the nurse, hurry up, my son is going through his final moments. The nurse decided to call the surgeon. Called up the surgeon. The surgeon rushed to the hospital. As soon as he rushed to the hospital, the man said, what do you think of yourself? Can you imagine? My son is going through such crucial moments of his life. Your attention is so much needed and you've come so late. We called you up so long back. How can you do this? The doctor said, sir, I was in the middle of something. I've just come back from the middle of something. And I tried my level best to reach as early as possible. And this guy said, doctor, if your son was on the operation table, if your son was dying or probably dead, what would you do? The surgeon said, I'll just remind myself of the words from the scripture, dust thou art, and thus dust thou shalt be. This guy went wild. He said, you can't empathize with me? If it was your son, you would probably empathize. Now you're quoting scripture that dust thou art and dust thou shalt be. The doctor said, well, hang on. Let me get the surgery done first. It's important to operate the patient. He went into the operation theater and did the surgery. One time a surgeon was in the operation theater holding a garland in his hand. So the patient asked, sir, why are you holding a garland? He said, if the surgery is successful, the garland is for me. If not, it is for you. You know, you see. The patient lying on the table, the doctor operated him. And as he came out, 3 hours the surgery lasted. When he came out, this father was running after the doctor leaving the hospital. He said, please, what happened? He said, talk to the nurse, I'm leaving. And the doctor left. This guy spoke to the nurse and said, what a ruthless, cruel, arrogant surgeon you have in your hospital. I was trying to question him, I was trying to talk to him about my son. He didn't even get back. Look at his arrogant behavior. I saw him behave so rudely. The nurse started crying. She said, do you know something? His son, who was just about 7, died yesterday. And today was the funeral, the cremation. And he was in the middle of the cremation when we called him. He left the cremation of his son to come, to take care of your son. And now he's rushing back to finish off the cremation. This man thought, my God, I was thinking I can know someone and someone's behavior just by seeing, and even in a devotee community, just by seeing someone and someone's behavior, how someone talks, how someone deals, one can immediately come to a conclusion that X person's good, Y person's bad, X person's arrogant, Y person's gentle, X is rude, Y is gentle and mild. One can truly rely on the eyes to get knowledge. One can't understand based on seeing. And nor can one understand simply based on hearing. Because one of the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ballabhadra Bhattacharya, was in Vrindavan. One night he was leaving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Ballabhadra Bhattacharya, Ballabhadra, where are you going? And Ballabhadra Bhattacharya said, Loka kahe Krishna prakat kaliya daher jale, kaliya shire nritya kare, phane ratna jwale. Jai Shri Radha Gokulanand Bhagwan ki, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki, Jai Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki, Jai. Said, I've heard from people here in Vrindavan that Krishna has once again appeared at the Kaliya Ghat and is dancing on the hoods of Kaliya at the Kaliya Ghat. Ballabhadra Bhattacharya, close associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is going by what people have spoken. I've heard, loka kahe, I've heard from people, not seen. I've heard from people that at the Kaliya Ghat, Krishna is now dancing on the hoods of Kaliya. And therefore, I'm going to see Krishna dancing on the hoods of Kaliya. Lord Chaitanya was very upset. Tabe tare Prabhu chapada mariya. He took his palm, chapada mariya. He gently slapped Ballabhadra Bhattacharya. You know, murkhera vakya hoila, pandita hoya. You're listening to the murkha people around you, listening to what mob psychology says, what people are talking about, and you're thinking this is the truth? No, my dear Ballabhadra. Do you know something? It's not Krishna. It's a boat, and a boatman's on the boat. And a lantern hanging in the night. And the boatman's plying the boat in the darkness. So in the darkness of the night, it appears that this lantern hanging is the jewels on the hoods of Kaliya. And it appears that this boatman who's plying this boat is like Krishna dancing on the hoods of Kaliya. And you, who are a pandit, going by the process of hearing from anyone and everyone, from any Tom, Dick and Harry, or in Hindi, era, gera, lattu, khera. How can you be hearing like this from anyone? And therefore, when Birbal said to Akbar that the distance between truth and a lie is four fingers, the distance between the eyes and the ears, knowledge cannot be acquired by seeing, nor can knowledge be acquired by hearing. Knowledge can be acquired by hearing from a proper authority, not just hearing. Knowledge has to be acquired by hearing from a proper authority. Otherwise, one can go by the mob psychology. Ballabhadra Bhattacharya, a close associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, went by the mob psychology. Everyone's Vrindavan is saying Krishna is dancing on the hoods of Kaliya, and he actually was going to see it. Lord Chaitanya said, what are you doing? You can't just hear from any Tom, Dick and Harry and come to conclusions. In Chicago, on a bridge, there was a lot of traffic and the police had to come and interfere. Because people were all getting off their cars, kneeling on their knees to offer respect to Mother Mary, who had now reincarnated on the side of the bridge. And after a lot of research, it was found that the drunk derelict had got off a car and had passed water on the side, and the silhouette of it had taken the shape of something that looked like Mother Mary to people. This is a real story. That's called mob psychology. People hear, hey, Mother Mary incarnate, come, come, let's go to offer some flowers and chant 5 Hail Marys for blessings upon us. Going by the mob psychology. And therefore, it's not seeing, it's not hearing, it is hearing from a proper authority. Srila Prabhupada therefore said, one time he was talking to the devotees and he said, fish fried in mustard oil is very tasty and prostitutes from Paris are the best. And all the disciples were having a tough time handling this. How did Swamiji know? Fish fried in mustard oil is delicious and prostitutes from Paris are the best. Prabhupada paused and he said, thus we have heard from the authorities. Neither have I tasted fish nor have gone to Paris. Said, but thus we have heard from authorities in this particular area, in this particular field. And therefore we know the truth even about material knowledge. And therefore we find Maharaj Pratap Rudra asking Sarvam Bhattacharya, Shunilun to mara ghare ekka mahashay. I have heard that in your house a great personality has come, a sannyasi. And I know that he has come from Gauda Hoite Aila Mahakripamoy. I have heard, probably seen him move around in Jagannath Puri, but I can't rely on my eyes to know who he is. Nor can I rely on my ears when I hear from everyone in Puri to rely who he is. But I have come to you, an authority, to understand who he is. Please tell me, who is this personality who is living in your house? Then he said, Tomare bahu kripa kaila kahe sarvajan, kripa kari karaho more tahara darshan. So the first visa document that Pratap Rudra Maharaj had in place is, he approached the right person. If one wants to move on the path of grace, one cannot go to anyone and everyone. If one wants grace, the first document that must be in place is approaching the right person in parampara. Now he is going to file his second document in his file. The second visa document to get grace. Tomara bahu kripa kaile kahe sarva jan, kripa kari karaho more tahara darshan. I want his darshan. I want his audience. I want to see him. Please, my dear Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, I have heard that he showered a lot of grace on you. You please arrange for a meeting between me and that sannyasi who the people are calling Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Please arrange for a meeting. I want to see this personality. The second visa document that Pratap Rudra Maharaj had was a desire. A desire to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, in order to move on the path of grace, the second thing that is required is a desire. Desire to be in the audience of the Lord. Desire to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that desire is cultivated by 4 different means. First, by hearing. When one hears, one cultivates a desire to serve, desire to see. People in this world are so infatuated and so obsessed by objects and things. The reason is hearing. Someone will come and say, hey, did you hear about the iPhone 4S? It's really good, huh? You must be using the iPhone 4G. But that 4G is for old G's. We have to have a 4S. You know, you just say, call, and it calls. You just say, text, and it sends a text. And did you know something, that this iPhone 4S was made only for 3 accents? American accent, English accent here in the UK, an Australian accent, and many Indians purchased it back in India, thinking that it'll act as our servant and say, call. And this man speaking in his Indian accent, one of my friends purchased it, he's saying, call Prashant Mhatre. What? Call Prashant Mhatre. Failed. It doesn't recognize that accent. That software was not made to recognize that accent. And therefore now most Indians are trying to learn saying call. Or coal. Whichever way it is. Call or coal. Whichever, UK or the US. Just to use the iPhone 4S. Trying to change. And this man was talking to everyone. You know what? Nice phone. Nice phone. Get one. And he got it. Desire created by the power of hearing. It's not always that we are so obsessed by gadgets and stuff. But there's so much talk all around. So much discussion all around. And everyone's saying, hey, this feature, hey, that feature. Hey, it calls, it can check up on the website, it can do this, it can do that. Get one, man. And immediately I feel, hey, yeah, I think I want one. Yeah, I think I want one. Hearing creates a desire. You know, a strong desire to get things in life. A lady said, I want an iPod. The lady said, iPod. The son in the family said, iPad 3. The daughter in the family said, iPhone 4. iPod, iPhone, iPad. The father said, iPay. You know, when all of them are asking for all of these gadgets, I pay for all of it. They may want an iPod and an iPhone, but I pay. That's my brand. My God. Hearing can create within the heart a strong desire to get something. Ravana, sitting on the throne of Lanka, how did he get attracted to Sita? In a wrong way, of course. By the power of subjecting his ears to hearing, Shurpanakha came and said, hey, what is that beautiful lady doing with that frail, skinny man in the forest with matted hair locks? What is he doing with that? She's meant for you, Ravana. And if you read the Valmiki Ramayana, there are several verses Shurpanakha describing the beauty of Sita, the only Agyat Sukriti she got. Describing something good about the Ladini Shakti, the Divine Mother, you know. Describing to Ravana. And that hearing created within his heart an obsession, a desire. I want Sita, you know. And in the positive sense, it is hearing that creates a desire. Rukmini had never seen Krishna. She was living in Vidarbha, in the palace of her father, King, the king of Vidarbha. She had Bhishmaka was the father. Never seen Krishna. But had heard about Krishna. His Nama, His Rupa, His Guna, His Leela, His beautiful holy names, sweet holy names, His transcendental sublime divine form, His extraordinarily benevolent qualities, and His incredible activities and pastimes, Leela. Nama, Rupa, Guna, Leela. She had heard about Krishna's name, Krishna's form, Krishna's beauty, Krishna's qualities, Krishna's pastimes. And constantly being subjected to this hearing was created within her heart a desire. I want Krishna. I want to see Krishna. I want to have Krishna in my life. The Brahmana Patnis, the wives of the Brahmanas, all of them, the Brahmanas had denied to give any food to the cowherd boys. But the wives of the Brahmanas would never see Krishna. But from Vrindavan, all the betel nut sellers and the fruit sellers would come and talk about Krishna. Simply subjecting their ears, as Prabhupada mentioned, to the process of submissive oral reception. What a beautiful phrase Prabhupada coined for the process of hearing. Submissive oral reception. By simply hearing from all of these Vrindavan Vasis who are coming to the village, the Brahmanas, their wives, they were obsessed. We want Krishna in our lives. And therefore, when one wants a desire to serve Krishna, when one wants to have a desire to go back to Krishna, the first thing that needs to be done to cultivate that desire is Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. To come regularly to the Srimad Bhagavatam class, the Chaitanya Charitamrita class, to come together in the association of devotees and discuss the Nama, Rupa, Guna, Leela of Krishna, by which there is a strong desire
that is generated in the heart. Yes, I want Krishna. Yes, I want to serve Krishna. Yes, I want to go back to Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada was so deeply appreciative of George Harrison. And the whole Bhaktivedanta manner is such an incredible manifestation of Srila Prabhupada's grace on this personality. Sriman George Harrison, as Prabhupada called him. In the final days of his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, as he was counting his final moments leaving this world, who was on his mind? Who was on Srila Prabhupada's mind? Probably there were so many. But the one person who took a very prominent position on Srila Prabhupada's mind was this young boy, George Harrison, who had done such incredible service for his divine grace, not only by giving the Bhaktivedanta manner, but by spreading the word of Krishna through his music. When he came to meet Srila Prabhupada and he wanted to get initiated, sometimes George would joke and say to Srila Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, I am already initiated. I am Hari's son." He would say, "Prabhupada, I am already Hari's son. I am Hari's son." He would joke with Srila Prabhupada sometimes. And in the final days, Srila Prabhupada took off a ring of his finger the last day before he left, took a ring off his finger and gave it to the devotees. Said, "Please give this to Sriman George Harrison." Can you imagine? Can you imagine how much Prabhupada loved him? "Please give this ring to George Harrison." And how much Prabhupada appreciated the song he sang. "My sweet Lord, I really want to be with you. I really want to see you. I really want to go to you." Of course, Prabhupada taught him the process of service, not just seeing, but serving in a way that Krishna will see us. But desire to be with the Lord, to serve the Lord, is created by hearing. He had heard so much from Srila Prabhupada. That song reflected what Prabhupada had taught him. And many other songs, not just this. So many other songs he wrote. And so many people, so many devotees in the West can vouch for this. That their first connection to his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, and the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, was through a song of Sriman George Harrison Prabhu. And therefore the first thing to create that strong desire in the heart is Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. The second thing to cultivate that desire further is experience. Experiencing the grace of Krishna. One cannot see the hand of Krishna, but one can feel the hand of Krishna. And feeling is much more stronger than seeing. I may not be able to see how Krishna is orchestrating my life, but many times I see how Krishna's hand in my life saves me from a lot of situations. In the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the pastime of Lord Brahma getting bewildered by Lord Krishna, the Brahma Vimohan Leela, when the Lord expands himself into so many forms, Shukdev Goswami says, the Lord's eyes were like the mode of passion. The Lord's eyes, Shukdev Goswami compares to the mode of passion, which creates a desire in the heart of a devotee. And the Lord's smile is compared to the mode of goodness there, which maintains that desire. So when the Lord glances upon a devotee, a desire is created. Sometimes when Srila Prabhupada would glance upon devotees, a strong desire would come in their hearts. Yes, we want to serve our master. A glance of grace and a glance of mercy can create a desire. And a smile of benevolence can maintain that desire. We can ask any of the followers of Srila Prabhupada and they will all say, we all simply wanted to see one thing. A smile. A smile on the face of His divine grace. Because that smile meant the world to us. That smile meant the spiritual world to us. If he was pleased, the parampara was pleased. You know. And therefore, Shukadeva Goswami explains that the Lord's glance creates a desire. And the Lord's smile maintains that desire. The experience of being touched by a devotee, the experience of being touched by the Lord's hand, the experience of Krishna coming in our life in an incredibly amazing way, further triggers that desire. Yes, I want to see him. Yes, I want to serve him.
One of our men in Mumbai, Indian man, he just started coming to the temple, started chanting Hare Krishna one round or so. And he was driving, going on a long drive to a certain place in India from Mumbai, about 10 hours drive. And on the way, he met with an accident. The car toppled over. He was sitting inside the car. There was an explosion. The car was on flames. And this man was inside in a toppled car. This gentleman, somehow or the other, opened the door of the car and moved out. Not a single bruise. Not a single burn. And as he moved out, eyes closed to just save his eyes from the fire, as he came out, he opened his eyes for the first time after this incident. And as he opened his eyes met with a big board on a roadside restaurant. And the board said, Radha Krishna Kripa Dhaba. Dhaba is a roadside restaurant in India where you get food when you're traveling on a road. And the name of this restaurant was Radha Krishna Kripa Dhaba. The mercy of Radha and Krishna restaurant. You know. This man came back to Bombay and said, Prabhuji, please tell me, what should I do? I said, what do you mean? So now, I mean, how can I, what should, more should I do in my Krishna consciousness? Said, how many rounds do you chant? 2. Can you chant 16? I can chant 16 multiplied by 20. Whatever you say, I'll do. And this man became such a serious devotee. He now has a big hotel on an island in Bombay called Alibag. And near this hotel is made a beautiful temple of the Lord, so that people can come and get the grace of the Lord. You know, the desire to serve comes by hearing, comes by experiencing the grace of the Lord in life. And as soon as we get that first-hand experience, we say, man, I want to do more. I can't just stay on like this. I want to serve more. I want to do more for Krishna. I want to do more for Srila Prabhupada. You know. The third way to get that strong desire is the association of those who have that desire. You know. Those who have that strong desire, just being in that association creates that impact on the heart. His Holiness Devamrita Swami Maharaj, in his book, Bhakti Bhav, which is one of my favorite books. I love that book. Such a beautiful book, talking about the journey of a practitioner based on the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's an amazing book. If any of you could grab a copy, do grab a copy and go through it. It's an amazing book. There, he talks about association being a group of people with noble aspirations. And one talk, His Holiness Devamrita Swami Maharaj is mentioning, he said, ISKCON is a society of noble intentions. Very sincere and good intentions. No one walks into the society to cheat. No one walks into the society to be hypocritical. No one walks into the society to do wrong. It's a society of noble intentions. Most often, if not always, no one is ill-meant. Everyone is well-meant. How it comes across is another topic. How that intention comes across is a whole different discussion. But I love that definition of association being a group of people with noble aspirations. And the aspirations of others creates inspiration for us. When we are in the association of those who hold noble aspiration, that noble aspiration is my and our inspiration. Living in an association of devotees, we just can't help but get rubbed on by the sincerity of the people around us. And what an incredible luxury it is. What an incredible luxury it is to be surrounded left, right, in the front, in the back, on the top, on the bottom by devotees. I don't know how it's possible on top and bottom. But being surrounded on all sides by devotees. Yesterday I was giving an analogy
I don't know how many of you have eaten a kala jam. Any of you here know what a kala jam is? You know what a gulab jamun is? Prabhupada called them ISKCON bullets. The further modified version of a gulab jamun is a kala jam. A gulab jam is brown in color. When that brown gulab jamun is fried further and made pitch dark black, deep fried, and then put in the sugar syrup, that's called kala jam. You know, the Mahabharata gives an analogy that this material world is like a frying pan. This is an analogy in the discussion between Yudhishthir and Yaksha, the Yaksha Prashna. That this what material world is like a frying pan, and the three miseries of material existence, Bhautika, Adhyatmika and Adhidaivika, is like the fire under the frying pan. Kala or time is the chef, the cook. And every soul, every person in this world is like the object being cooked. The ladle in the hand of time is day and night. Using the ladle of day and night, time fries and deep fries every conditioned soul in this material universe. Prakritim sthanim karshati. Time in Sanskrit is called kal. And I was saying in Hindi yesterday, kal ka kaam kya hai? Kal ka kaam sabko kala karna hai. The job of kal is to deep fry us, deeply fried before coming to Krishna consciousness. And the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas, the mercy of Sriman Mahaprabhu, is they have taken this deep fried black ball and put it in sugar syrup to make it from kala to kala jam. Like you have gulab jamun and sugar syrup. That is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And what is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness? What is it meant to be? It is meant to be a huge bowl of sweet sugar syrup, where the conditioned souls, deep fried by kal, can come and dip themselves in the association full of sweetness, and now become a kala jamun to be offered to Radha Gokula Nanda. What a sweet that is, you know, when offered to their lordships. You know. And therefore, association means surrounded by sweetness of devotees. The sugar syrup of devotee association creates a strong desire. The aspirations that they hold sacred gives us inspiration to make their aspirations our aspirations as well. When I live amongst devotees who are all so sincerely trying to chant, no matter how much my mind wants to be spaced out, I also feel in my heart, hey, I want to be a little more sincere like these devotees. And that desire is generated within the heart. And therefore, by the process of hearing, by experience, by association, and finally by direction, can one get that strong desire. The analogy given is that the spiritual master is like a magnet. And the desires in the heart of a disciple are like iron filings, scattered here, there, everywhere in multiple directions. You know, when iron filings are put over, they're just directed in so many different directions. That's the desires of the living entity. Directed here, there, everywhere. This, I want that, I want this. Everywhere. The spiritual master is like a powerful magnet. As soon as the magnet comes, all the iron filings turn in one direction. The job of a magnet is to align all the iron filings in one direction, and so is the task of a guru, an acharya, a spiritual master, to align all the desires of a practitioner in one direction. And that direction is only one thing, to serve. To serve the lotus feet of the Lord, to serve the lotus feet of the acharya, to serve the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas, and to serve the lotus feet of all the great saints in the parampara. All the desires are aligned in one direction. And therefore, head. If we want to head on the path of grace, we need this head. First, to hear. Head. H in the head stands for hearing. Like Rukmini, like the Brahmana Patnis, they heard. and got that desire. E in the head stands for experiencing. When we experience the hand of Krishna, our desire is maintained. The glance of the Lord creates a desire. The smile of the Lord maintains that desire, Shukdev Goswami explains. A in the head stands for association of that sugar syrup, with the association of those with noble aspirations by which we can get that desire to serve. And D in the head stands for direction. Coming in the association of someone like Srila Prabhupada, the pure soul, the pure acharya, all our desires are directed like iron filings, turning in a direction because of the influence of a powerful magnetic field. What an amazing document Maharaj Pratap Rudra had filed. The first document to get the visa was he had approached the right person, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. He had not gone by seeing, and he had not gone by simply hearing from the people of Jagannath Puri. He had gone to Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya to confirm, I've heard that this sannyasi is living in your house, tell me who he is. The second document that he had was a desire, I want to meet this sannyasi. This desire came from hearing, from observing, from experiencing, but primarily by the powerful association of this magnetic field of Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. Yes, I want to see this sannyasi. Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya replied back. He said, my dear king, it's okay you want to see him. Only two issues about it. The two issues about seeing Lord Chaitanya is this. Virakta sannyasi teho rahena nirjane swapneha na karena teho raja radarshane. He's a virakta sannyasi. He's a renounced order of life. And he lives nirjane in a secluded place. Swapneha. Even in a dream. Even in a dream. He will not meet a king. Swapneha. Karahotar Raja Radarshane. Sapne mein bhi Raja se nahi milenge wo. Forget about meeting in reality, my dear king. I would love to have you meet him. But the issue is, he is a virakta sannyasi living in a nirjan secluded place. And even in a dream, he shall not associate with, as Prabhupada translates it, a pound, shillings, pence man. Prabhupada's language was very much influenced by the English. The British English, because he studied at the Scottish Church's College in Kolkata. And therefore, if you see his purports and his translations, you'll find a lot of British influence on this language. So Prabhupada, whenever he translates crown, he'll translate it as a helmet. Very British kind of English. You know, Krishna was wearing a helmet. So one of our devotees read this in India and he was imagining first time Krishna wearing a helmet like if I were a bike, you know that. So he was having this imagination in his mind. And His Holiness Jayadvait Swami Maharaj was telling once in his class in Chopati where we come from. He was telling in his class that when he read Lord Shri Krishna. So His Holiness Jayadvait Swami Maharaj had thought about it as very British kind of Lord. So the first time he read Prabhupada's books and read the word Lord, he imagined someone like Lord Macaulay, you know, with a coat and a hat and a cane in the hand. So Prabhupada's English quite... very much influenced by British in English, you know. And therefore Prabhupada says, even in a dream, such a sannyasi would not meet a pound, shillings, pence man. Lord Chaitanya was setting an ideal example as a sannyasi to teach how if one mingles as a sannyasi with materialistic people, one will be affected. Affected by those vibrations. And truly we do. Because the whole atmosphere and the ether is nothing but the vibrations of people that have been invested there. Go to a place, like I was mentioning yesterday, try going to central London on a hot sunny day where the temperature is only 33 degrees Celsius and sitting at Soho Square and chanting 116 rounds. God! That seems like a distant possibility or probably an impossibility. The whole ether is surcharged with the vibrations of materialism. And when we go in, zapped by those vibes. In as much as when we walk into a temple, we are zapped by the positive vibes
of Krishna consciousness that all the devotees are investing in this holy place. A place is not a place just because it is. It is created by the people there because they are investing all their vibration in that place. A family is good or bad, and the atmosphere in a family is good or bad based on how the family is thinking, how Krishna conscious everyone is, what is the thing on the mind, and therefore everyone's collective vibrations makes the atmosphere in a family. Lord Chaitanya, Sarvam Bhattacharya said, he won't meet you. You're a material, he won't meet you. He's a materialistic personality. Pound, shilling, spence, man dealing with women, men dealing with people, dealing with armies, dealing with horses, elephants, money, golds, rubies, lapis, lazulis, emeralds, pearls. He won't meet you. That's one problem. I can't arrange for this audience because he won't meet even in a dream a king. Srila Prabhupada followed the same principle. He sometimes went against the protocol of the set systems. And therefore, the purports of the Gita that Srila Prabhupada writes is giving a general lecture outside. You know? The purports of the Srimad Bhagavatam is like Prabhupada giving a morning class to devotees. Gita purports are a pandal program for general people. Everyone can hear. Bhagavatam purports are more for particularly the devotees in the movement can appreciate. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita purports are for those devotees, the inner devotees who truly understand what the mood of Srila Prabhupada is. You can see Srila Chaitanya Charitamrita purports, Prabhupada expresses his heart, and this they are criticizing me. Sometimes my god brothers are now criticizing me that I'm doing this. He doesn't write that in the Bhagavatam purports or the Bhagavad Gita purports. Meant for a very intimate kind of ISKCON close group. This Chaitanya Charitamrita. You know? And therefore, we find Srila Prabhupada crossing the ocean, which sannyasi is not meant to do. We find Srila Prabhupada meeting with pound, shilling, spence men, which one was not meant to do as a sannyasi. Is he contradicting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a sannyasi? No. Srila Prabhupada was carrying on his head the orders of that sannyasi. That prithivite ache jata nagaradi gram sarvatra prachar hoibe moranam. And carrying on his head the orders of this Virakta Sannyasi, Prabhupada many times went against the general set protocols of a Sannyasi, which no Sannyasi in India would do. The Madhva Sampradaya, not one Sannyasi has ever crossed the ocean, because one Sannyasi is not meant to cross. Came and started preaching, dealing with all kinds of people. Met Ambarish Prabhu, Alfred Ford, right? Met all kinds of people from all walks of life, which a Sannyasi would generally not do. Got his disciples married. A sannyasi doesn't do that. And he writes in a purport. He writes in a purport that now we have to get our disciples married because it's very important that they get married and practice Krishna consciousness together in the Chaitanya Charitamrita purport. Quite interesting. Prabhupada did what technically a sannyasi, traditional sannyasi would not do to spread the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj had given three instructions to His Divine Grace Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Prabhupada. I can only remember two out of the three. I have to get back to the third. I was trying to recollect. I couldn't. But out of the three, two. This is from the Bhaktisiddhanta Vani Vaibhav by His Holiness Bhakti Vikas Swami Maharaj. Said two of those reasons, he said. One is never go to Kolkata to preach and mix with the people there. And second, never take disciples. These were the two instructions given by Sri Srimad Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj to His Divine Grace Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Prabhupada. Don't go to Kolkata to preach and mingle with this materialistic people, and don't make disciples. The third one I can't recollect. And Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Prabhupada did exactly the opposite. Would we call him a person who disobeyed his guru's instructions? He came to Kolkata and started the preaching mission, the Gaudiya Math. Otherwise the Gaudiya Math would not spread. And he made so many disciples. How would we understand this? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Prabhupada himself explained this. He said, I never contradicted my spiritual master. My spiritual master's instructions are my life and soul, and I hold them sacred on my head. I never contradicted him. He said, I never came to Kolkata.
I came to the Gaudiya Math, which is the spiritual world. I never moved around in Kolkata just to move around in Kolkata. I came to the spiritual world. I carried the spiritual world of Mayapur, Navadvip along with me. And the second thing he said, I never made a single disciple. Because no one is my disciple. Everyone is the disciple to my spiritual master. And I'm simply their servant. Simply a servant to each and every single disciple of mine. And therefore he said, I never ever disobeyed my spiritual master. Therefore one is to go by the letter of the law. And the second is to go by the spirit of the law. Those who understand the spirit of the law do not become judgmental based on the letter of the law. It's so simple to criticize and give comments, you know. But one who understands the spirit of the law shall understand why things are being said, shall understand why things are being done, you know. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada never ever disobeyed the instructions of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, took it as his life and soul, and lived by the highest standards of a sannyasi. Although living with all of this. And then he said, my disciples have made such amazing facility for me. He said, the Goswamis would sleep under different trees daily. He said, I sleep in a different room in a different country daily, which my disciples have made. He was accepting their service on behalf of the parampara. So Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya said, one problem is he's a sannyasi. And the second problem is I would have still arranged for your meeting. But what to do? Just in the month of Vaishakh, few days back, he has gone for his South Indian tour. So how can I now make? I would have still tried. He's a sannyasi, but I would still go to him and say, please Mahaprabhu, here's this king, meet him. But he's not in town. He's gone. He's gone to South India and I don't know when he returns back. I would have arranged for this meeting. But he is gone. Pratap Rudra said, you couldn't stop him? You should have fallen at his feet, held and grabbed his feet and said, please stay in Puri. Said, the greatness of saintly souls is, they travel around for two reasons, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya said. Tirtha pavitra korite, tirtha brahman, seichale nistarika samsarika jan. They go to purify holy places, because they carry Krishna with them. A holy place, people are coming and investing all their sinful reaction in the holy bodies of rivers. A pure devotee comes to purify these holy places. And in the guise of doing so, he travels all around. Nistarite samsarika jan. To benefit samsarika jan. The people of this world. The conditioned souls. Sriman Mahaprabhu apparently has gone to South India to visit Nasik, Trambakeshwar, Pandharpur, Kanchipuram, Sri Rangam, go to all these holy places to purify the holy places. But more so, in the guise of purifying the holy places, he's going there to deliver the people in south of India. Srila Prabhupada, following in the footsteps of his Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, traveled all over the world, my God, with one this purpose in mind. To save the conditioned soul, samsarika jan. When he was asked, Swamiji, why are you traveling in a jet plane? He said, well, everyone's going jet speed to hell, so I have to keep up with them. One devotee came and said, Prabhupada, I want to simply be sitting at your lotus feet always. Prabhupada said, you can't do that because my lotus feet are constantly moving. How can you be sitting at my lotus feet constantly? My lotus feet are constantly moving all over the globe. And once, in the year 1967, he would call the devotees and Prabhupada had a globe in his room. He would revolve the globe and wherever it would stop, he would point the finger and he said, I think our Brahmananda will go to Spain. And he would revolve it again. And wherever it would stop, he would say, I think our Satswarup will go to Mexico, you know. And then he would do this planning. Thinking that in the future all his disciples would go all over the world and spread this Krishna consciousness movement. And then Prabhupada once was sitting, moving the globe. And then he said, when the globe stopped, he put his finger there. And he said, if the people here would know why I came here, they would put me behind bars. To bring all of his people to the lotus feet of Krishna, he said, they would put me behind bars if they would know what my plans were.
But I came here only for this one girl in Australia. Young girl. Prabhupada was giving a talk. After the talk, she said, Prabhupada. So she didn't say Prabhupada. She was a new girl. She said, Swamiji, why did you come to Australia so late? You're so amazing. Srila Prabhupada said, I was waiting for you to be born. And she felt so gratified that Prabhupada came and I was waiting for me to be born. And Prabhupada, she felt so gratified by Prabhupada's grace. And therefore, kesar or saffron that's put in sweet rice, that saffron can only do its job thoroughly when it's dealt with in a certain way. The first thing that's needed for saffron, it has moisture in it. The first thing that's done while cooking is you roast, dry roast the saffron on a tawa, on a pan. It becomes crisp. Then you take it off the pan and you use your thumb to crush it to powder. Then after it's crushed to powder, one adds a little milk into it, or a little water, usually milk, and then crushes it further. And as this roasted, crushed saffron is further rubbed, it starts releasing color and fragrance. This is the meaning of the saffron cloth of a sannyasi. Kesar. To be roasted, to be crushed, to be rubbed, with only one purpose in mind, to add color and fragrance to the lives of the conditioned souls of this material world. That is what the saffron garment of a renounced monk represents, living for others, to give fragrance and color to the lives of others. And how beautifully this was demonstrated and exemplified by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and in the parampara by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, whose every breath was simply for the benefit of others. Truly the Gopi Geetam was meant for him. Bhuri Dajanaha, the great munificent souls traveling all over Nistarite Samsarika Jan, only for the benefit of the conditioned souls in this world. We will move on in our discussion tomorrow when we come to this verse. When after having asked, who is this personality? Sarvam Bhattacharya replies, and what would be Pratap Rudra Maharaj's response? We will discuss in our discussion tomorrow morning. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrit ki jai. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Pad ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande. Hare.